531.
Morning, Brian, on Pacific Breakfast. And now for a wrap-up of weekend sporting action with our regular sports guru, Ray Razor T. Atelea. Good morning, Razor. And as always, wow, a chock-a-block weekend of sporting action. But we're looking forward ahead, firstly, to this Wednesday.
Yeah, that's right, Brian. It's D-Day. Wednesday is the day hopes and dreams will be shattered, and others will be realised. And of course, we're talking about AB's Rugby World Cup Selection Day. Yes, this is a day that's been long been penciled into the calendar for especially players, but also fans eager and excited to see who will be tasked with the challenge of bringing back the Webb Ellis Trophy again. So that's going to be on Wednesday morning. There's lots of question marks still around the side, although it seems to be that about, well, I'd say about 95% perhaps of the team is probably locked in and certain. There's still a few question marks that people are really, really waiting to see what the answers are going to be, and that's probably more around the midfield makeup, where by all accounts it appears that the form player, one of the form midfielders, if not the form midfielder of the competition, Ngānelo Mapi, sounds like he's going to be a little bit unlucky and will miss out on selection. Also, the back three, where, of course, Rico Ioane and Ben Smith are sounding like their positions are under fire. But, hey, no matter what happens, there's bound to be a shock selection or non-selection. If we cast our mind back to 2015 Real Rugby World Cup, at the time, the non-selection of the likes of Charles Piazza, who was probably one of the four All Blacks that year. Of course, he had already signed to play overseas, hence scrubbing his name out of contention. Also, Corey Jane and Israel Dagg, if you can recall, were also left out of that side. They were replaced with the likes of Waisaki Naholo, who used the magic Fijian healing to fix his broken leg in the space of 1 month. And also, Nehe Milnaskara was in there too. He was somewhat of a surprise selection. But, of course, we all know that he went on to be one of the players of the tournament. So exciting times ahead. And we wait with bated breath on Wednesday to see who will be read out for that All Black squad.
Razor, do you think any chance that one of those bolters might be in the form of Ma'a Nonu? Or he's quite an outsider, would you say, at this stage?
Yes, you'd have to say, barring any very, very late training injuries or the like. Personally, you know, Martin did have the form on the board this year, but, you know, you'd have to say Ngānelo Mapi is ahead of him in that regard. And so you'd have to say Martin Orne was an outside chance, but you never say never, and you never know what can happen. There's still 3 weeks to go until the Rugby World Cup, and anything can happen.
Yes. More rugby action with the Farah Palmer Cup kicking off this weekend.
Yeah, that's right. If you weren't already satisfied with the rugby we've got on show at the moment, well, our Premier Women's competitions kicks off this weekend at the Farah Palmer Cup. No more international play for our Black Ferns, so they're all now playing in our Farah Palmer Cup competition. Canterbury looking to defend their premiership title this year after winning it last year. Then you have the likes of Counties Manukau, the last year's losing finalists, looking to go one better. And then, of course, you have Auckland, who will be looking to regain their status as the best side. They dominated for a number of years, but they had a very, very poor season last year. They'll be wanting to get back up there to the top. And also, one other thing to look out for in the Farah Palmer Cup is the introduction of a Northland side for the first time ever. So some exciting football, more exciting rugby there for us to watch.
And the Mitre 10 Cup continues.
Yeah, that's right. We're three rounds into the Mitre 10 Cup at the moment, and there's been a few surprises. Tasman and Auckland occupying first and second spot on the ladder at the moment. No surprises there. They were two of last year's semi-finalists. Auckland, of course, the defending champs. But then you have perennial contenders and the other two semi-finalists from last year, Wellington and Canterbury, occupying the bottom two spots on the premiership ladder. So, a bit of a turnaround there. That's some real exciting rugby going on there in the Mitre 10 Cup.
What's this Auckland All-Samoan backline as well?
Yeah, I thought I'd just throw that in there. Brian, I just noticed something interesting. At about the 60-minute mark, Auckland subbed on reserve halfback Danny Tusitala. And when he went on, that we completed a pretty much a full all-Samoan back line. I'm not sure if that's happened before with Auckland or any other team in the minor 10. But you had Danny Tusitala and D'Angelo Leawila at 9 and 10. Danny Ilitulea and TJ Fayana in the midfield, and a back three of Caleb Clark, Rico Ioane, and Salisi Rayasi, who sounds Fijian, but he's got a Samoan mother, and he actually played for the Samoan 20s. So that's just a bit of an interesting side note there.
Very good. And and some more rugby action. It's all on this doubleheader, the Pacifica Challenge 2 this weekend, the road to Japan.
Well, what a great opportunity for fans, local Pacific Island community to get along and support and watch their team one more time here in New Zealand before they head off to be a part of the Rugby World Cup. This is, of course, the Pacifica Challenge, the second iteration of this. 2 years ago, there was the Samoa and ABs and Wales Tonga doubleheader at Eden Park. This Saturday, it is Mung Samoa and the Heartland 15. And also Fiji and Ikaletahi playing out a doubleheader at Eden Park this Saturday. At the first game starting at 2 p.m. What a wonderful opportunity, and full credit to the New Zealand Rugby Union for assisting these with the staging of these games, and a chance for our local people to get along and shout long and hard for our teams.
Very good. Now we're moving on to the NRL. Some great action leading up to our semi-finals in that, and we're going to get to the Warriors very shortly, but hold your heart.
Well, yes, actually, Brian, it's all about the Warriors in today's new NRL news. I don't have an NRL rep. I thought I'd devote most of the time to discussing the apparent demise of the Warriors this year. Look, after a fantastic season last year where they defied all predictions and made the top eight after a great start to the season. Well, this year, the low points just have been keep on coming for the Warriors on Saturday night. Their third heavy loss in 4 weeks, this time 42-16 to the Sharks. Now, things aren't too rosy at Mount Smart from the outside looking in. You had the CEO, the big boss man, Cameron George, commenting earlier in the week that players will get cut based on their current performances. And he had Coach Kearney responding to that by saying that the CEO shouldn't be commenting on footballing matters. So not really a good look from the outside looking in. So make no mistake, there will be fallout. There will have to be a scapegoat for the Warriors' poor season. It's interesting to see who it will be. Professional sports is performance-driven and results-driven. Success is measured by the win-loss column. So based on that, there's going to be some consequences out of Mount Smart Stadium.
Could be writing on the wall for, well, not only players, but yes, we'll wait and see. Someone else in the NRL turning back the clock, this young playing man, Mr. Benji Marshall.
Yeah, I had to throw that in there, Byron. I actually watched this game, and what a performance from Benji Marshall. Now, there were a lot of people criticising him, saying, oh, look, he should have retired last year or the year before. But when you see the way he played on Saturday night, man, we've got to savour every game this guy plays. Individual performance of the round, 5 try assists in their 42-6 or something or other win against Newcastle Knights. And Benji had a direct hand setting up 5 of those tries just with his pinpoint passing and pinpoint kicking skills. He's another one of those players where, years from now, we will say, hey, I watched Benji Marshall play at the time live. So, he hasn't announced what his plans are for the coming years. But, hey, we can get out and watch this guy on the telly while we still can, because he's an absolute legend. Benji Marshall.